Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am Blake Harrison and joining me as ever is Stu Whiffen.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, I sort of stumbled on my words there because I was thinking, like, do I introduce you in some weird way? And I just went, as ever, as ever, is Stuart Whiffen. How you doing, mate? You good?
Yeah, all good, all good. So there's a monster card at the weekend, so we thought we'd do a little pre-show. But obviously the big news was the fact that top of the bill's changed.
I was at work when I found out, and there's like the camera.
I love the way that you're talking about this, like you remember it like the day that Kennedy died.
Yeah, no, it was for me. It was. This is my grassy knoll. It's UFC 282. Is my grassy knoll. I was at work, and I was talking earlier that day. I was talking about how much I'm looking forward to this because there's a couple of guys that are like sort of into MMA a little bit, and the cameraman. He actually does a lot of jiu-jitsu and has rolled with like Guy Ritchie and people like that. And I was chatting to him about it and stuff, and we were talking about fights. And I was like, oh, can't wait for Yuri Glover. And then just literally hours later, I went up to him. I was like, mate, have you heard the news? And he was clearly nowhere near it. I was like devastated. And he was like, oh, right. Well, that's a shame. I was like, no, this is awful.
You can get up off the floor now, Blake. Why are you in a fetal position crying?
No, that's how I felt. I couldn't believe it. What seems to have happened from what I can gather is Jiří Procházka has injured his shoulder really quite badly.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he's vacated the belt. Now, you could say that is like that kind of Bushido code that he seems to live by. I'm not going to hold up the division, which is amazing.
If that's the truth, incredible.
What a guy. What an unbelievable
guy. You're going to be
guy.
A cynical prick now, aren't you?
No, I mean, it's bad business. Because if he's back in 7 months or something, then they could have made an interim title fight. He stays a champion. He earns pay-per-view points. Now there's no guarantee that he gets pay-per-view points when he comes back for his fight and all that stuff. And
Why would he do that?
Why would he do what? Would he vacate?
Well, obviously, yeah, because I mean, you know, the statement given was he didn't want to hold up the division, which is admirable and brilliant.
And
what other
like
reason
it
would
might...
there be? If you're going to be a cynic, all right.
No. Firstly, I'm just going to put out there. I think he's that guy. Yeah. I think Jiří Procházka. He lives by that kind of samurai code type thing. I think he's that guy. I genuinely think he's that nice. And he went, I don't want to hold up the division.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Terrible for business. Great for your moral compass and him as a person and all that stuff.
That's great. What's the devil on your other shoulder saying?
Did he have some pressure put on him by some of the people upstairs because they needed this card to have a belt on it? A legitimate belt. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But I want to believe he's this Bushido code guy. And I think he really is. But I just like, mate, what's your... I don't know if he's got kids or anything, but it's like they can't pop down the shops and buy trainers with his Bushido code. You know, they've got... Daddy, What's the currency in the Czech Republic? We need some Prahas. I don't know, euros. I don't know what's the currency in Czech
Republic. It's not Bushido. I can tell you that.
It's not Bushido code, mate. That's not how they're buying their Nikes. That's not how they're doing it. Come on, Yuri.
Oh, glorious.
Oh man. But so I am gutted about that. Then what's happened after that is apparently the UFC have gone to Glover Teixeira and said, right, we want you to fight Ankalaev for the vacant belt. And he said, I can't fight Ankalaev on short notice, but I would fight Jan Blachowicz on short notice. And they've gone, no, we want Ankalaev in that main event. He's like, well, no, I'm not doing it. I'll fight Blachowicz. I won't fight Ankalaev. And they said, okay, see you later. Blachowicz Ankalaev for the vacant belt.
What do you make of that?
Has Glover made a mistake? I mean, look, I understand from a fighter's perspective, I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't be forced to fight someone that you think, do you know what? I need extra training to fight this guy because he's a certain type of stylistic matchup or something like that. Or I just need to work this differently.
Glover's this is like, a couple of weeks before the fight, you know. This is literally like a matter of like a couple of weeks. That's
so.
And Ankalaev's, you know, a tricky character. Like, oh, man, people ain't queuing up to fight him.
No, I mean, for a while now, I've been thinking he's probably the best light heavyweight in the world, and we'll get onto that in a minute. But yeah, it's a real tricky one. I don't know whether Glover has made a mistake there or not. I mean, I understand from his point of view why he wouldn't want to take Ankalaev on short notice, but at 42 years of age, he's not necessarily just going to be gifted the next title shot. If Jiří comes back from his shoulder injury early, he will be the first one to get the title shot. Yeah. Then Glover's fucking 57 before he's getting any shot. What if Jamal Hill gets a big win against someone? Another guest we've had on the show recently, we had a lovely chat with Jamal Hill. Go and listen to that. But if he gets a big win, does Glover get pushed back and pushed back and pushed back? I don't think he's in this incredible position with the UFC where he can say, you need me. You know you're giving me the next title shot. That's not guaranteed, and you're 42 years of age. I don't know where he's going to go from here, and if it's going to go the way he wants, because he might end up fighting someone random like a Jamal Hill, and being in trouble. I just don't know. What do you think? Has he made the right decision?
I think he's obviously gone in there, and just thought, well. Obviously, he's probably thinking, I don't fancy that Ankalaev. And I don't see Glover as a liar. I'm sure he's probably being completely truthful and saying, I need more time if I'm going to fight him.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly reasonable. I don't think
he's scared of him. He's a former champion veteran. He's not scared.
And so you think, right, well, he was due to fight for the belt. So he's the only fighter left in that fight. So is he thinking, well, I should have more say over who I fight?
Yeah,
and I think that's perfectly reasonable to be able to sort of put your case forward that, well, look, you know, I'll fight Jan, but they're saying obviously no, we want this, and so he's obviously just counter argued that, and they've just gone, oh, well, in which case then no, you're not, you're no longer on the card, which you kind of worry that will we now see Glover fight again, like we, you know, has this soured it? We don't know where the relationship is. I don't know if Glover said anything, but like you say, you know, I think we all wanted him to, you know, to have won that last fight and retired. But you know, even when he got the belt, you wanted him to. I thought that was going to be it, and he was going to, you know, sail off into the sunset and
pay per view points, mate. Pay per view points. If you become champ, you've got to defend it. Pay per view.
I know, and don't get me wrong. Like that fight with Jiří, like was incredible, and I would have been all over it again. And I feel for him that, like, has he just kissed goodbye to his last chance of gold?
Maybe. I mean, look, I love Glover. I think he's fantastic. I really hope he gets another crack at the belt because it would be a wonderful story if he could win that again at his age after the career he's had. But I don't know. It's difficult. I don't think the relationship would necessarily be too soured. Mm. I think it's just that the UFC will go, look, you can't call shots here. We're the UFC. We call the shots, and you'll fight who we tell you to fight. Otherwise, don't fight. And Glover's at an age where it's either you either do go, you take your opportunity when it comes, or you risk retiring. But maybe he's happy with that.
Well, obviously he's fought Yan, so he's like, is it like the UFC thing? Well, we've seen that. Like,
yes.
Do we, you know, Ankalaev's the he's the prospect, isn't he?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So okay. So we're now left with, you know, Glover probably scratching his head, thinking, oh, bollocks, have I made a real bad move here? But what we're left with is Jan Blachowicz versus Ankalaev. Do you think this is going to be a pretty straightforward win for Ankalaev?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I've got a history of whenever I pick against Blachowicz, he wins. But whenever I pick Blachowicz, he loses. Like, I think I picked Blachowicz against Glover, he lost. And every other time I've picked like Adesanya against him and whoever else, Dominic Reyes maybe. And yeah, he proves me wrong every time. So I can't pick Blachowicz fights very well. But I would favour Ankalaev in this. I don't think it's going to be a hugely exciting fight, if I'm honest. I think both of them can be defensively sound at points. I think that Ankalaev can wrestle, but I think he's a bit more of a striker. I don't know. I see Ankalaev winning. I could see the first couple of rounds being close and then Ankalaev pulls away, but I think Ankalaev could win like a 50-45 decision. I don't see it being like, I mean, his fight with Santos was really boring. As much as I like Ankalaev in terms of, I think he is very, very good. He's, as I say, defensively sound, good wrestling, all that stuff. But, you know, I don't know. As I say, the only loss is, I don't know if he's on, how long's his win streak now? Is it like a 6-fight win streak, something like that? Maybe more, I don't know. In the UFC, but
it was a while ago he fought Craig, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the Paul Craig fight's his only loss in the UFC, and it was
in
that
a fight he was winning.
Oh, and dominating! It's only that Craig put up that amazing triangle with a second to go.
So, he done a Paul Craig.
He done a Paul Craig. I'm going Ankalaev. Yeah, but history would dictate that if I'm picking Ankalaev, Blachowicz will win. but I'm picking Ankalaev. Who are you picking?
Same, yeah. I think he's going to take this moment and shine. So, second on the card.
Oh, mate, what a story.
I mean, we love Paddy, of course. I mean, it's pretty mental, isn't it?
It's a real indication.
When you look at who else is on that card,
yeah,
that Paddy's up there.
Yeah.
It shows the power and the attention there is around Paddy the Baddy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a real indication of what the UFC feel like they have with Paddy Pimblett. For him to be the co-main event in only, what, his fourth fight? On a pay-per-view. I mean, there's Robbie Lawler's on this card.
Yeah.
Darren Till's on this card. It's good. And to be honest, the fight that is my fight of the night that I'm looking forward to more than anything else is Bryce Mitchell, Ilia Topuria. That is
hand
the
sanitizer
fight. Ah, hand sanitizer boy. And Bryce Mitchell, fucking crazy conspiracy theorist guy. I mean, there's some interesting stuff going on there. I mean,
hang on. Is he James Crass?
No, I don't think so. No. No.
It was
Bryce Mitchell,
James
I think, has his own shit going on. He's like,
Mitchell was definitely wanking in James Crass's
sock.
Oh,
yes. Yes, that story's amazing. I can't go into that. We're pushed for time. I can't go into that story now. But James Krause, Bryce Mitchell, the sock.
Google it.
Google it if you dare and find out the disgusting shit that went on there. But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't think he's a James Krause. I might be wrong, but I don't think he's a Glory MMA guy. I think he trains locally near him in like Arkansas or whatever.
Yeah.
James Krause is, where is he? Is he like Ohio or somewhere like that? Or God, where's Glory? I don't know. But
we'll get to Bryce. But
we'll get to Bryce.
Paddy the Baddy. Pimlet.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Jared Gordon. Like he's a bit of a UFC veteran now. He's had a lot of fights in the UFC. Looking at his record, fought Charles Oliveira in 2019.
Yeah, he's lost some big fights. I mean, Grant Dawson is, I think, ranked now. Charles Oliveira is a former champ. He's fought him. Who else was there? There's a big name that he's lost to. I'm trying to think who it was now.
Charles Oliveira, Diego Ferreira.
Another ranked lightweight. I mean, Jared Gordon, in terms of his time in the cage, I don't think Paddy's going to bring him anything he hasn't seen before. That's, you know, how he reacts to it or not, I don't know. But he will have seen everything in that cage. He is a veteran.
Mm.
But it's outside the cage that the Paddy stuff can, I think, get in your head, much like it used to do with Conor. Jared Gordon's never been a co-main event of a pay-per-view card. That's never happened. He's never going to have had the eyes on him that he's going to have this week leading up to a fight with Paddy Pimblett. But Paddy takes it all in his stride. He loves it. Paddy loves this stuff. And if you don't love it, how does it affect you?
But is this Jared Gordon, you know, is he thinking, I've got the golden ticket? I've got the golden ticket? Because every fighter's calling out Paddy now.
100%.
You know, fucking YouTubers are calling him out for big money to spar. Like, and so when you've got somebody that, you know, has got a very sort of up and down career in the UFC, you know, and you get that carrot dangled that you're going to be the co-main fighting somebody that, you know, is Paddy beatable? You know, I don't know. He's looked
a lot of
perfect
people would
in
say
the
he
UFC,
is.
But a lot of people will say he is.
People will say he looks beatable because he's been beating cage warriors before and he hasn't been perfect in the UFC.
By his own admission as well. He said his last few performances, he's been very disappointed in himself.
He's been great. He's getting finishes and it's been fantastic fan-friendly fights, but he's been clipped hard in a couple of his fights.
Yeah. But I guess it's that kind of drama and excitement is why you love him, because he's wild.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this. I think it's going to be amazing. We're on the Paddy train. Of course we are. We love him. What's it going to be like not having Molly on the card? Will that affect him? Probably not.
No, but I don't think so.
But Paddy's made for big events and all the fireworks. You know, it's what he's about. He's a superstar. I'm surprised that co-main, like, you know, just casting my eyes down this card, it's like, really? But
that's it. What an achievement. What an achievement. It's an indication of what the UFC feel like they could have here with Paddy. If he gets a finish on a co-main event of a pay-per-view, I think that's it. The UFC will strap the rocket to him and they will give him, okay, London or Cardiff or whatever it is going to come up springtime of next year, you're going to fight a ranked opponent. And we're probably going to give you a ranked opponent that is one of your more favourable matchups. Again, not that Paddy will be calling for that. Paddy will fight anyone. But the UFC will go, we want to keep this train going as long as we possibly can. And if we can give you favourable matchups, we will. That's not Paddy's fault. Paddy's just doing his thing, earning big money, talking the talk, walking the walk, all that kind of stuff. But the UFC as a business will realise they've got a potential superstar on their hands here. Not only is he a fan-friendly fighter in his style, he gets clipped, but he gives it back. He talks well, and he can also branch out a bit. That speech that he did about reaching out to your friends because you'd rather your friend cry on your shoulder than carry their coffin, that transcended the world of MMA. My wife is a mindfulness practitioner and a mindfulness coach, particularly for children. She saw that and she knew who Paddy was because she knows that I've had him on the show and she follows a little bit of MMA because I am so into it. But she was like, oh my God, there's like mindfulness pages that I follow putting up Paddy's speech about men's mental health, about suicide awareness, all that kind of stuff. This guy can transcend and the UFC can see that. And when he's talking about issues like that, putting in the performances that he does and being entertaining and funny as well, he ticks every single box and it just makes sense for the UFC to do whatever they can to get him as close to the belt as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk in the post-fight show. You know, if the outcome is, it goes Paddy's way, then we'll talk about options, you know, of ranked opponents and that. Then.
Yes, absolutely.
Ponzinibbio versus Robbie Lawler.
I am not looking forward to this fight at all.
Seeing it as a bad night in the office for Robbie?
Oh, mate, I think it's going to be sad. I think it could be a sad, sad night. I think Robbie is maybe one of those fighters that he's given us, the fans, too much of himself. When you look back on those legendary fights against McDonald, Hendricks, Condit, people like that, He's probably the most exciting champion ever. Or at least he's up there in the conversation. Like, who's more exciting as a champion than Robbie Lawler? I mean, obviously, GSP, Khabib, they were better champions.
What is exciting?
Pure excitement. Robbie Lawler gave us epic fights. I mean, the fights that will stand the test of time. I mean,
yeah.
But has he given us too much of himself? Because now he's 1-5. In his last
just
six
looking,
fights.
Yeah, like,
and who's his win against? Nick Diaz.
Yeah.
Mate, it's not good reading, is it?
We see Barbarena destroy him. Obviously, he's lost to Magny, lost to Colby, lost to Askren, lost to RDA. I mean, these are all high-level fighters he's losing to, let's make no mistake. Got a win over Cowboy. Prior to that, lost to Tyron. Like, but then you go back and you look, wins over Condit, McDonald, Hendricks, Matt Brand, Ellenberger, Rory again, like Josh Koscheck. Like, these are like absolute killers. And like, and they were all just fucking great fights. And that's why we love Robbie. But I don't know, it's not for us to say, but has he been going on too long now? Like you say, has he given too much of himself? And
I don't know. I hate to be the guy saying someone needs to hang up the gloves. I sort of did it with the Dominic Reyes thing. Lawler's not in that place. He's not getting starched with the first punch or anything like that, like Dom Reyes got done. But I do worry about his long-term health. I now see Robbie Lawler's name on the fight card and I go, oh God, I hope this is okay. And that's never, as a fan, that's never a place you want to be in. And I don't think it's the best place for a fighter to be in when fans are going, I hope this is going to be all right. So, I mean, Ponzinibbio's by no means on a win streak. I think he's lost his last two, but they were split decisions. And they were against, like, Jeff Neal and Pereira. But these are great fighters, you know. Ponzinibbio's still really good, I think. And I do see it being a potentially sad enough for Robbie. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But yeah, it's just,
he's still got
point.
Power in them hands, Robbie Lawler, make no mistake. And you
sure
know, but let's not write him off just yet.
Okay. All right.
He's done enough. We owe him this one. Let's let him have this one.
No, see, I think we owe him like a nice retirement. Like, I think we owe him a trip to Mauritius on some sun loungers. Just rest up, take care of your health, mate. Be there for your kids, all that stuff. There's not enough research into the whole CTE thing with MMA. We don't know what the long-term impacts are going to be, really. Robbie Lawler is one of those guys where you're like, if anyone's got to be studied for that stuff, he's one of the top candidates because he's taken some big shots and stayed with it. But like, how much damage is there? I don't know. It's a worrying one for me. I hope I'm wrong, but I worry for Lawler. Let's move on to...
All right. So somebody that hasn't been to Mauritius but has been out in Thailand training hard with Brendan Loughnane, he's Darren Till, who we're finally seeing back in the octagon against Drickus. It's hard to call this because it's been so long since we've seen Darren Till fight. Where's he been with his injuries?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Where, you know, what's going on? What Darren Till are we going to see turn up and fight at 185? Yeah, I don't really know what to make of this fight.
That is the really big question, isn't it? Is that which Darren Till will turn up? I actually think Drickus is a good fight for Darren. I don't think Drickus is going to do too much of the wrestling. He does hit hard, though, but I kind of feel like his strikes are a bit more wild than Darren's. And I think Darren's got way better technical striking. You look back at that fight he had with like the Gastelums and Robert Whittaker as well. Even though he lost against Whittaker, it was like a striking chess match. And even Whittaker was like, Whittaker, who is obviously behind Adesanya and maybe Pereira now, but Whittaker for a long time has been one of the best strikers in that middleweight division, a fantastic fighter.
No mistake, Darren Till's a high-level striker.
High-level striker. And I think he will technically have the edge over Drickus, but the problem is, ever since that Masvidal knockout, it feels like Darren's been quite gun-shy. And it feels like, I know that there's technical and there's playing chess and playing for counters and all that kind of stuff. And then there's just you're not pulling the trigger, mate.
Unless we might see the Smash Brother. What are we going to see on the floor?
Well, that's the thing. Since his last fight, which was against Brunson, wasn't it, back in like September of last year, he didn't look like Darren Till. He looked soft. He still caught Brunson on the way in with one shot, and then it just didn't happen for him. But Darren, since that fight, has got this lovely relationship going with Khamzat Chimaev. And if any of that drive, confidence, and ruthlessness has rubbed off on Darren, we could be seeing Darren 2.0. We could be seeing Till get a couple of wins under his belt. And make a run at the title. I think it's definitely possible. he's just got to get over, I think, some of the mental aspect of what I think that Masvidal fight did to him. And
it's weird, isn't it? When, you know, I know when we spoke very early on in, on the podcast, and we spoke to Brad Pickett, and he said, you know, he had a couple of KOs and it changed his fight style. He no longer wanted to sort of put himself in the firing line to pull the trigger, and was aware that he could get knocked out. And I think that confidence you have as a young fighter that Darren Till clearly had, you know, that he would put himself in the mix and he would get finishes and probably, you know, and didn't get finished. And now he's had a few of them. It's impossible for it not to filter through into your, you know, your game plan in your head. It's like, well, do I want to be in the firing line here? Do I not? Like,
Drickus is that guy as well. He's called Drickus Stilnox Duplessis, and Stilnox is based around, I think, a sleeping pill in South Africa called Stilnox. And that's what he's based his nickname on. He can hit hard. He can knock you out. I'm going to favour Darren in this fight, though. I think we're going to see Darren, the Smesh brother, come in and be a way better technical fighter, hit Drickus with some counters hard, land that left hand early, and Drickus is going to be like, whoa, and back off a bit, and Darren's going to do him. I think Darren can do it and come back.
Well, obviously we hope so, because we're always going to favour the Brit fighters. And if social media is anything to go by, Darren Till looks like he's in good nick. You know,
which is that, really
that soft
important.
Body we saw against Brunson, it doesn't seem to be there at the moment, unless he's going to go for a week long of Eat All You Can buffets. I think we're going to see a lean and mean Till.
You never know with Darren. you just don't know. He could do anything. He's crazy.
So you're super excited about Bryce Mitchell and Topuria, yeah?
Yes. I mean, look, normally this is the kind of fight where I'd watch at least three or four of their last few fights back to back to get a real indication of how I think this fight's going to go.
Someone's
I haven't had the time to do
that. Gotta go.
Oh yes, I haven't had the time to do that this time around. But was it 15-0 and 12-0? Two ranked guys in the top 15 of a stacked featherweight division, both undefeated fighters, as you said. This is the fight. Mitchell, I think, will have the upper hand in the grappling. But Topuria is very, very good at the grappling as well. He smashed Ryan Hall. He just did not play his game and just smashed him. He also, unfortunately, knocked out our mate Jai Herbert, who we've had the card, and that was in the weight class above. So Topuria's got power in his hands. Mitchell's such a phenomenal grappler and wrestler. He's so slick, unbelievable jiu-jitsu, like, he twists
he's a phenomenal
people up.
Knobhead as well.
There is that. There is that.
We can't not mention that.
Yeah, he is. It's difficult, isn't it? He is a big conspiracy theory. I mean, at first I thought it was really fun. There's this crazy story about him doing DIY in his house, using a drill, and getting his testicles caught around the drill. Please go and Google that if you dare. It is horrific. And he seemed
madness
like this
aside, he's a legit problem, isn't he?
Oh, big time. He's like, but featherweight is stacked. Like, this was supposed to be Bryce Mitchell versus Movsar Evloev, who, again, another phenomenal fighter. More of a grappler-heavy guy, Evloev, so I don't know how much Bryce Mitchell has been channeling his stand-up, because I think if you're Topuria, and I might be wrong, as much as Topuria's got good ground game, I think he's going to want to keep this fight standing, and he's got power in those hands, and I think he's a better striker than maybe Evloev. So is Bryce Mitchell coming into this not as trained up as he could be for a fighter like Topuria? I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm super excited about this fight. I'm leaning Topuria, but honestly, if this fight gets to the ground, Bryce Mitchell is so slick and so unorthodox. He's got a couple of like twister finishes, isn't he? That like he's like one of the only guys in UFC to have twister finishes, and he's got two of them. Phenomenal. This is the fight for me. I cannot wait for this fight.
Yeah. Just sort of looking at where we're at with the rest of the card. I mean, you want to talk about Rosenstrike and Dorcas, yeah?
I mean, it's a fight. It's happening. It might probably be fun. I reckon someone will get knocked out. Not got
Fantastic.
I think the winner or loser of this fight could be the next up for title with Vassar. I said that in our previous. If you haven't listened to our post UFC Orlando and stuff, go and quickly listen to that. We talk about the crazy James Krause gambling situation that's going on. If you haven't heard about that, please go and listen to that. And also post UFC Orlando, where we saw Taito Ivasa beat by Pavlovich and an amazing fight between Wonderboy Thompson and Kevin Holland. So go and listen to that if you can. But there's not a huge, there's loads of interesting fights on this card.
Well,
but there's not a huge amount to say about. Go on, what's the next one?
Yeah, Raul Rosa Jr. So 18 years of age.
Yeah.
And just come off of a win in the Contender Series. Lots of hype around him. Obviously, his age, and Dana's clearly a fan, you know, has spoken a lot about him. So he's making his UFC debut to, on Saturday. So 6-0 record moving into the UFC. So excited to see that, fighting Jay Perrin. What else is on the card that that you want to...
So I think Chris Curtis versus Joaquin Buckley. Joaquin Buckley, the owner of the greatest knockout in the UFC ever, as deemed by myself. It was phenomenal. Chris Curtis, Joaquin Buckley should be a good fight.
Did Buckley? He was in London, wasn't he? And he got the loss that he was very unhappy about, wasn't it? Was that? Am I right in saying that?
I don't think so. Was he in London?
No,
maybe he was.
It wasn't. No, I've got it wrong. My bad.
No, I can't remember. But Billy Quarantillo versus Alex Hernandez should be a bit of a banger. Quarantillo.
It was Chris Curtis that got the loss.
Yes,
in London
against Hermanson. Yes, he was unhappy, but it was a clear loss. He just, I think he just got a bit emotional, which is understandable. But yeah, him versus Buckley, I think it'll be a fun fight. Quarantillo versus Hernandez, I think, should be a really fun fight. Gustafsson is out of the OSP fight. It was Gustafsson versus OSP, which, to be honest, was just, I don't know. I wasn't particularly excited about it. It is two veterans and stuff, but after what happened with the Krylov fight, I don't know that Gustafsson should be getting back in there too quickly, so I'm sort of glad he's pulled out.
OSP is not a fight that many people would be excited about.
No, so OSP's now fighting Antonio Troccoli, who I don't know a huge amount about. But and then the other interesting fight on the card is Edmund Shahbazyan versus Dulce Lungyambula. And, where is Shahbazyan at? Shahbazyan was one of these highly touted young prospects, undefeated. He had some fantastic knockout victories in the UFC, went on a bit of a tear, and then came up against
Brad Tavares. Was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, was phenomenal. Then he fought Brunson, lost. Then he fought Hermanson, lost. Then he fought Imavov, lost. And he's now staring down the barrel of a 4-fight losing streak. And I think maybe this is one of those advertisements for young fighters being thrown into the fire and into the upper echelons of their division too quickly. He's still very young, but I think he was maybe thrown up in with the lions a bit too quickly. And as I say, if he loses a 4-fight, I mean, is that him cut? Is that him gone? It could very well be.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, you know, a win over Jack Marshman and then Brad Tavares, and then the next thing you've got is Derek Brunson and Jack Hermanson, like, and Imanov. Yeah. They're fucking serious fights. And where do you go after that? And it's like you say, one more loss and
could be done. Yeah. I mean, he's young enough to find his way back to the UFC if he goes to the regional scene. I mean, we all know that the PFL and Bellator for fighters like Shahbazyan could pay him probably more money. But how much of a... You're not in a strong bargaining position to get extra money if you're on 4-fight losing streak. It's just not going to happen. So he might have to, and it might be good for him to go to like one of the more regional scenes again for a bit, go down to the LFA or something like that and fight there and get a couple of wins under your belt there, and then maybe go to one of the bigger promotions again and see where you're at, because he's young enough to find his way back to the UFC. But that's got to be so bad for your confidence when you're on a 3-fight losing streak. And if you get a 4th, I mean, that's got to be you done. With the UFC, anyway, for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all the action that's coming this Saturday. If you like Paddy the Baddy, I'm sure you're very excited about this upcoming fight. Go check out our back catalogue, because you'll find two episodes. One where we talk about, was it Paddy's debut in London?
We've had him on three times.
Was it three times in total?
I think we've had Paddy on three times. So the latest two were more like to do with his UFC debut, and then to do with maybe UFC London, the first one back in March.
Right.
And but prior to that, we had him on again before David Martinez fighting. Yeah. But he had him on before his last fight in Cage Warriors. Mm. And it's a fantastic chat. He talks a lot about like mental health, his process, the battles he's had mentally when he's, you know, had bad injuries, all these kinds of things. It's a phenomenal chat. So go and find that one. It's probably one of the earliest ones we did, but I think it still stands up against a lot of the other episodes as one of our greatest chats, talking to Paddy in maybe like, I don't know, it's definitely within the first like eight episodes, I think we spoke to Paddy for the first time. Phenomenal Absolutely. Chat. And obviously it's great to, when you listen to it, you know, he ain't changed. The UFC yeah. has not changed him at all. He's always been this guy. So
just
yeah,
with better phenomenal. Teeth now.
Better teeth now, yeah. Same haircut, better teeth. But yeah,
we've mentioned Derek Brunson on today's episode. Go check out our chat with Derek Brunson. We was lucky to get some time with him. And go and have a look in the archives, because we've been so lucky with this podcast to chat to so many incredible UFC fighters from Bellator, PFL, and all other Cage Warriors, of course, a stack of fighters from Cage Warriors. Go have a good old rummage about in that archive. I've done over 100 episodes now, and they're all available for free. And just in case you think you're going to miss one, if you subscribe, then they'll just pop up on your listening device, and you don't need to worry about missing anything. Keep up with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and we'll be back next time for a post-fight show.
We will. So next week we'll have the post-fight show. And also, if you are just listening to this, we do have our YouTube channel as well. And if you're watching this, thank you for watching. Laters, yeah?
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.